هون لگل اس بی اس رادیو بشی کردینا.
Harry Phillips, thank you so much for joining SBS Kurdish today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So today we just want to talk about the way you have connected with Kurdish refugee and musician Kazım Kazımi. And can you let us know how was it that you connected with him initially?
So I have been involved in the sort of the refugee advocate scene in Brisbane for a few years now. And as part of that, I had followed some pages on Facebook that were doing reporting on the offshore detention situation. And an article got posted on one of those pages one day about a refugee in Manus Island who loved heavy metal. And he had been there for a long time, and the only way that he was keeping himself sane was by taking his electric guitar that someone had gifted him when they visited and the amp they had gifted him and taken it to the laundry of the detention center so he didn't bother the other detainees, and then just shredding on his electric guitar and playing a bunch of songs on there and uploading it to Instagram. And it had his Instagram tag in the story, Manus Metal Man. Mm. And I heard this story and I just thought, man, that's like the most rock and roll metal story I've ever heard. Like, music's so often supposed to be about expressing your soul and about standing up for what's right and about protesting against the wrongs that are being done by the government and things like that. And I just thought Kazım's story just ticks all those boxes perfectly. And I was really inspired by his story and I thought it was so sad. And so I messaged him on Instagram after I read the article, and I said, hey, man, I just want to let you know that your story is really inspiring. Don't give up hope. There's people who really support what you're doing. And he said, thanks very much. And we started messaging back and forwards and hit it off as friends. And then I said, hey, we should collaborate on a song sometime. And he loved that idea. And so we were starting to collaborate on a song, and then he got his guitar taken off him and his mental health went really bad, unfortunately. But that's how we came to be friends.
Okay, and I believe when he was transferred to Brisbane on the Medivac bill, you lost contact. How did you find him?
So the way that we had been communicating over phones, I didn't realize, but it was only saved on that one phone. So then when that phone of mine broke, I had no way of getting back in contact with him. And then I was like, how on earth do I find this guy again? Because ABF, the Border Force, are not particularly helpful with that kind of thing. And I didn't really know anybody else who was, in touch with all the different refugees in that way. But some time passed, and then I eventually heard about a group called the Refugee Action Collective and phoned them up one day. And then a guy who was ahead of that called Mark, he was on the phone with me, and he said, okay, I can't promise anything, but I'll check with my sources and see if I can find something out about this guy. And then probably 2 or 3 weeks later, I got a call back from him and said, okay, I think I found your guy. And then, found where he was.
So was it a coincidence that he was in Brisbane as well?
We had, the last time that we messaged before that, we had been talking about, he thought he was probably going to get moved to Brisbane because he had been in Port Moresby getting treatment in the hospital. And then so we were messaging while he was there, and he said he thought he might get moved to Brisbane, but he wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. And then that's the last thing that I heard. So I thought I'd reach out to this Mark guy and just see if there was someone called Kazım Kazımi who was in Brisbane. And then just as luck would have it, he was here. So that's how we managed to reconnect.
And you are based in Brisbane, so you have been visiting him regularly, I believe. And
yes.
So, you know, what sort of support are you able to provide, and how has this helped your friendship, basically?
I mean, it was a really amazing and slightly surreal moment when we finally got to meet, because at that point we had been messaging for maybe over a year and communicating, you know, phone calls and stuff like that. But then to actually be in the same room, and then we were like, saw each other, gave each other a big hug. And then before you know it, we're like, we're playing songs together and stuff. And that's probably the biggest way that I, you know, if I give him support, that's probably the biggest way that I do it, is that we just hang out and jam, and we don't talk too much about, you know, where he's been, and we don't talk too much about the things that are getting him down. Sometimes we have phone calls about that kind of thing, but when we're there, it's just like we're just jamming it out, and, visiting hours go for an hour and 45 minutes. So we're just learning songs and like doing covers on video and stuff like that, and just playing music for the other detainees and their visitors. And, you know, so that's I think that moral support maybe comes in just our shared love of music.
We have also spoken to Kazim about his situation. I know you said you just mentioned that you don't really talk about the situation that he's in and the limbo that he's in, basically. You personally being involved, you know, with the refugee advocates and supporting refugees in general, what sort of hope do you have for someone like Kazim, you know, for him to have a positive outcome?
I think that my hope for those guys, and particularly the ones that I've spoken to, so Kazim, Baruz Bichani, people like that, is they have a great strength of will, and they have a real determination which led them to be refugees in the first place. I think that they were willing to take that chance and try and get freedom. I think they're strong characters, and they, I think every time that the community reaches out to them, whether it's me or whether, you know, other people in the community or a rally or things like that, a lot of that gives them hope. I think as well, it's been getting more media attention lately, and everybody, the thing that gives me the biggest amount of hope is that everybody who really hears their story and then meets them, and the more that people find out about it, it's like almost 100% of people who are just so sympathetic to the cause and really want to help them out. We think that refugees are kind of a controversial issue maybe in Australia, but in my experience, even people who didn't know anything about it or who were skeptical, once they find out, they really find out what's been going on, it's 100% almost of people who are just so desperate to help out. And that's what gives me the big hope, is that the more information about this that comes out, the more people will realize that this is just wrong and that it needs to change.
So are you currently working on anything, any projects with Kazim?
We had been writing an original song together back when he was on Manus, but then because of his guitar getting taken off him and because of his mental health, we had to stop. But we are just about to start picking that up again, which is really exciting. And we have some cover songs and stuff lined up that we are going to be doing together soon as well on our next few visits. And then we also are collaborating to try and... there's been a lot of musicians since we did an interview, since I did an interview the other day about it. There's been a lot of musicians who have come forward and said that they really want to get involved and go and visit and do songs with him and send him their music and merchandise and everything. So we're trying to get something together with that group as well.
Another thing he was mentioning to us, it was the fact that he doesn't have his own instrument at the moment. He's just been provided with a Spanish guitar, which is not what he normally plays. And are you working on, or have you investigated how he can get his hands on, you know, an instrument that he's comfortable with and that he normally plays?
I have been talking to a couple of different people about that, actually. Mm-hmm. And I have some people who are very keen to help him get a better guitar. I think also, until recently, I thought he didn't actually know where his electric guitar was, but apparently he knows where it is, but it's just being kept from him. So what we're hoping to do is that with the community outreach that's been happening from these musicians, is maybe we can apply a little bit of pressure and actually get him his old instrument back and then supply him with a better guitar as well, so that he'd be able to do more justice to the type of music he likes to play, because not only is he playing a guitar that's not suited to the music he plays, but just from my experience as a musician, I know those guitars, they're very cheap. They're not guitars that a professional musician would ever use, for instance. They're just kind of casual guitars, so it's not suitable for him really as a musician at all.
Thank you so much again for your time, Harry, and we wish you all the very best in your music together, and looking forward to hear more from you.
Yeah, too. Well, thank you so much for covering the story and for having me on to talk about it. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure Kazim really appreciates it as well.
دەتەوێت بابەتی دیکەی وەک ئەمە ببیستی؟ گوێڕایرە لەسەر ئەپڵ پۆدکاست، گوگل پۆدکاست، سپۆتیفای یان لە هەر کوێیەک پۆدکاستەکانت بەدەست دەهێنیت.